The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them, and I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This past Thursday was the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord. On this day, 40 days after Easter, as Jesus raised his hands to bless his disciples, he was taken up into heaven. Now Jesus is enthroned at the right hand of the Father, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named. And in this position of honor and authority, Jesus rules over all things, rules over them for the benefit of the church, that is, for you and for your eternal welfare. The church celebrates Jesus' ascension as his coronation in heaven. For now, in great glory, our Savior Jesus rules in great glory. Jesus speaks about glory in our text this morning. Prays that the Father would glorify him with the glory they shared together in eternity. From this side of Easter and the Ascension, it's easy when we hear this prayer of Jesus to imagine that he is looking forward especially to his heavenly rule. It's certainly clear that this is at least part of what he has in view in his prayer. He speaks of being glorified in the Father's presence, of no longer being in the world, but rather of coming to the Father. Yet we almost completely miss the real subject of Jesus' prayer if we think only of his being lifted up into heaven. When Jesus speaks of being glorified, it involves something we would normally find difficult, calling glorious. Indeed, Jesus' prayer here has much in common with his teaching earlier in this gospel concerning being lifted up so that he might draw all people to himself. Jesus had said that he would be exalted, lifted up, glorified, but for him these words involved humble service, giving his life as a ransom for many. Earlier, following his quote of Jesus concerning being lifted up, St. John explained it clearly. He said this to show by what kind of death Jesus was going to die. That is, that he would be lifted up on a cross. Jesus' immediate agenda that Holy Thursday, when he was with his disciples in the upper room praying to the Father, was being betrayed, arrested, cruelly mocked and abused, and finally executed by crucifixion. This was the long-anticipated hour in which he would complete his mission. These were the means by which he would win eternal life for all of those who had been given to him by the Father. It was by his ignominious death that he would crush Satan's head and earn the eternal praises of the angels and archangels and of all the company in heaven. Even now, their song of praise refers back to the events of Good Friday. They sing to the Lamb, "Worthy are you, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, worthy to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Jesus is glorified in the highest because of what he did to bring peace to man, making himself nothing, humbling himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It is because of his death that God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus' prayer for himself, as many Bibles describe the first half of our text, is in reality a prayer for you and for me. For when Jesus lifts his eyes up to heaven and asks that the Father would glorify him, in glorifying him, glorify also himself, Jesus isn't praying in self-interest. He's praying for his redeeming work to be finished, his innocent suffering and death to be accomplished, your salvation to be won. As God of God, light of light, very God of very God, it was always proper to give Jesus glory and praise. The only reason all people didn't acknowledge this is because of their sin, their stubborn rebellion against the Creator. But rather than letting us sinners have what we deserve, death and hell, Jesus chose the way of humble service to benefit those who had made themselves his enemies, graciously giving his life so that you may not die but live. It is this, his innocent suffering and death, by which Jesus brought himself glory and earned that name that is above every name. Besides praying that the Father would glorify him by bringing his work of redemption to a successful conclusion, Jesus also prays for his followers. In the portion of his prayer which forms our text, he has in mind particularly his chosen disciples and the others who had believed in him and followed him during his earthly ministry. But he doesn't leave you or me out. Later on in this prayer, a few verses after our text, Jesus specifically includes us, saying, "I do not ask for these only," that is, the apostles who were there, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." Their word, and the Holy Spirit working through it, has brought you to faith. Thus, as he prays that his followers would know him and the Father, and in knowing have eternal life, Jesus is praying for your worship and Bible study and devotions. He wants that apostolic word to bear fruit in your life, to lead you and sustain you in the knowledge of God's love and mercy for you, a sinner. This is eternal life, he says, to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And this is what he wants for you and for me. Years ago, for most of us, the Lord claimed us as his own, put his name on us through a blessed washing with water and the word. Did you notice how Jesus' prayer thus connects to baptism? Jesus prayed to the Father, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world." Jesus revealed God's holy name, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for our blessing, so that in God we may have life and salvation. He revealed this name to us so that we may use it according to his command, and having used it, receive what he has promised. He said, "Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." Thus, in baptism, we use God's holy name, the name Jesus has revealed, in accordance with his command. In baptism, God put his name on you so that you would receive the gracious blessings he has promised. God watches over and takes care of all of those who bear his name, who have been sealed with the sign of the cross, whom he has clothed with Christ's own righteousness. He forgives their sins and gives them life and salvation. They are his, and as Jesus says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Listen again to how Jesus puts it in his prayer. "Father, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. I am praying for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them." What a wonderful thing it is to be claimed as God's own precious possession, redeemed and treasured by him. And did you hear what Jesus said? "I am glorified in them." Jesus counts you and me, sinners redeemed by his blood, as bringing him glory. What a precious prayer, this prayer of Jesus. He reveals to us his love and compassion. Love and compassion which compelled him to the cross so that he could give his life for your salvation. And he prays for you that you may know him, that you may cling to him in faith and receive the gracious gift of eternal life which he has won for you. May God answer Jesus' prayer to your eternal blessing and to his great glory. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.